We're starting a new summer series called Simple and Ordinary. And if you are a guest this morning, well, we welcome you. I just want to say welcome, welcome, welcome. We are a people who find the love of the Father just completely irresistible and compelling. We're swept by His love, grace, and mercy. Our desire then is to love God with everything that we are. Love all people as Jesus demonstrated we are to love them, and to follow Jesus empowered by the Holy Spirit together. We believe the Bible is His word and truth from where we learn to live out the daily eternal life with Him and in Him. So we are elated, if you are a guest here this morning, that you are with us and that you are here for the new beginning of this new series. And I just simply want to say that it brings me joy that you're here, and all of us joy. So as we can get started this morning, I want us to consider the formation and transformation into the likeness of Jesus with a couple of quotes to set us really kind of not only on our journey this morning, but that'll help out this morning, but really on the journey throughout the summer. Dallas Willard, in his book, A Divine Conspiracy, just an excellent book. If you get a copy, it's a little bit older and he's passed away, but just a wonderful, wonderful book. It says this: transformation is actually carried out in our real life, where we dwell with God and our neighbors. First, we must accept these circumstances we constantly find ourselves in as the place of God's kingdom and blessing. God has yet to bless anyone except where they actually are. Our becoming like Jesus happens within the context of our daily life. While we might desire to live in the mountaintop moments in our relationship with Jesus, this is simply unsustainable and, can I just say, unreasonable. Jesus' kingdom is to bear fruit in us and through us in all ways and in all our days, not in just a few days of our lives, but in all of our days. When I was younger in my faith, and notice I said younger in my faith, not younger. It's a huge difference, and if you haven't figured that out, saddle up to somebody who you think may be more mature in their faith, and we can walk with you. We'd love to walk with you. But there is a huge difference. There's a huge difference. But when I was younger in my faith, I would constantly be seeking the mountaintop experiences. Maybe you were the same way. I mean, it's part of the journey. In fact, if you know anything about your growth and your stages of life, that is pretty common. But if you have been journeying with Jesus for 20, 30, 10 years, can I say it's time to grow up? Can I just tell you that? Because Jesus wants to meet you in your everyday. He wants to give you the mountaintop. He wants you to have those unreal experiences. But He wants us to experience Jesus in the everyday. And I would try to get into any concert I could as a young one, thinking that those were the places to hear and to feel and sense Jesus. I would try to attend conferences as a youth and young adult that would, you know, not just spur me on, but would give me that mountaintop high. I mean, we all like to go, most of us like to see the mountains, and most of us like to climb the mountains, and we like that. We just don't sometimes like the straight, unless you're from Iowa, the straight, you know, paths of Iowa. I mean, we get it. That's where we get most of our grains from. But we like those mountaintop experiences. And these aren't bad. They're just not bad. But when you're younger in your faith, when we are younger in our faith and in maturity, we tend to seek what more seizes our flesh. It's kind of like wanting to have steak every night. Now, if you can, God bless you. But the reality is that's not, one, it's not healthy for us, and two, it's unreasonable and unsustainable. It's just not what we're called to do. And it's more about the flesh than it really is about what really is needed for development of who we are. And so in many ways, this is just part of growing up. The phase of moving through, hey, I want the high experiences, the youth group travels and adventures, You know, and I don't mean to call anybody out. I really don't. But this is really kind of the where we're at when we're younger. I'll go to youth group when they're going to Zap Zone. I'll go to youth group when they're going to, and that's where we are. When we're younger, I'm putting younger and younger in maturity. But we can be that way when we're older, too. When we go to Cornwall's, I'll go to church. When I go to this event, I'll go to church. When they're doing this gathering that has food with it, I'll go to it. If that's where you're at in your faith, can I just encourage you? That's not where Jesus wants you, let alone what I think. That's not where Jesus wants you. Yet, we need to have those. And I'm not saying they're bad, but they seem to kind of commandeer our faith if we're not careful. And so what this series is about and where we're going to be heading is just that Jesus desires to meet us in the simple and the ordinary. And that's not something I created. It actually came from a context of a book by Trish Warren Harrison. But it really is found in the Gospels. When you read the Gospels, we see Jesus pretty ordinary, pretty simple, and we're going to pull some of those out. There's no doubt that the transformation of Jesus by the three, I mean, they went and they watched Jesus kind of illuminate, literally. We think light bulbs are bright. I'm sure that Jesus was shining brighter than a light bulb than we could ever imagine. And they wanted to build a shelter. And what did Jesus tell them? No, you're not getting it. That's not what it's about. Totality, that's not the only thing that it's about. It's about much, much more than that. Tish Harrison Warren, in her light and refreshing book, if you get it, you'll love it, I promise you. It's called The Liturgy of the Ordinary, states this quote in a different way. God is forming us into a new people, and the place of that formation is in the small moments of today. It's just as simple as that. God is forming us into a new people, and the place of that formation is in the small moments of today. Jesus was the ultimate artist and a communicator when it came to taking the normative of life, that ordinary, and what we may even say mundane, and translating it into the transformational teaching moments that anchored the ancient truths of God and Scripture for the formation of his disciples. And anyone who has ears to hear, let them hear. I mean, that was kind of what he did. And so Jesus took gardening themes, water, meals, you name it. We can find over and over and over again, we can find these themes. And in fact, this morning, while I was unlocking the front doors, there's this bird that flitted by underneath the little overhang with some grass, I think, in its beak. And I thought, oh, Jesus, there you are again, coming to light, not worrying, not toiling, not spinning, just doing what they do, right? And we can see it all around us. It is true for us, too. Even as we read God's word, when we give it some thought, we can anchor what we know to be true in the everyday. We observe birds, as I just said. They don't worry. And we're reminded, oh, Jesus, you're right. We're not supposed to worry. Now, I would have never thought of that on my own. And maybe some of you would have, but I never would have. But I think if given some thought, we can start to anchor some of these solid truths of our faith into everyday, ordinary, simple, and some of you would say even mundane, oh, I hate doing this type of task. I mean, it's just the way it is. So what is involved in our daily practices, our tasks? For me, one of mine, first things in the day, brushing my teeth. When I first get up, I have to brush my teeth. Now, some of you would have thought, Steve, I would have thought it would be grabbing the cup of coffee first. Does kind of get inverted once in a while, but not too often because I can't stand it, especially after we told our kids that bugs crawl in your mouth at night. This works, by the way. If you have grandkids or kids of your own, nieces and nephews, then they poop on your teeth. Hey, by the way, it's true. If you look it up, look it up. It is true. Now, it's just a natural process of who we are. But when you get that stuck in your craw, you're like, I'm brushing my teeth. There is no way I'm going to let that stay. So what are the practices for you? What are the three or four activities, tasks, or practice, or activity, whatever they are, that you do daily or almost daily? What are they? So just take a few moments. Now, there's a high road you can take. Get it? Let's stay on the high road, okay? So turn to one another. For the next few moments, just share a few of these tasks, activities, habits that you do almost daily. You don't have to connect them to anything. Just tell them what they are. I mean, just like I did, brushing teeth, you know? So what if those daily habits, practices, and tasks could be used by the Father to remind us of whose we are and then transform us by the Holy Spirit? What if those things that we kind of go, I got to do that again, you know? Water is one of those things that Jesus used on a regular basis. It's a substance that he used to illustrate, right? And it's all around us. In fact, you know, some of us brought our own water bottles, or we grab one and we come in because we see the necessity of it to quench our thirst. And Jesus took that one step further, right? The woman at the well, he says, look, I can quench your eternal thirst, right? Using the idea of water. Water also becomes this illustration for us of a ritual or a liturgy that all of us who have said yes to Jesus and have become his followers, we follow into obediently out of love because of his generosity to us. And it's called baptism, right? We go into the water and we have this cleansing of heart, life, and soul that comes because we said yes to Jesus and we make a public proclamation. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me, if you will, to three passages. I'm going to be in Matthew 3 and Romans 6 and Galatians 3. You won't have to turn all of them right now, but why don't you turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And as you're turning there, it's also on the screen. You may want to see the greater context because we'll get into that in a moment. But I wondered, would you read this aloud with me from the screen? As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." John the Baptizer, if you're familiar with the passage, or you can read it this afternoon, has been baptizing in the Jordan, and Jesus walks through the crowd and steps into the water and up to John, and John, with reluctance, baptizes Jesus. Now, one thing we will quickly know, that Jesus doesn't need cleansing, but the passage of Scripture, the greater passage of Scripture, said that Jesus said that he needed to do this for the fulfillment of righteousness. While it's astonishing to us, if we really reflect on it, that Jesus even had to be baptized, and that's where John was. What do you mean? Jesus, you have to be baptized? While that's astonishing to us, I think what's even more astonishing to me, even more these days, is the trifecta that happens. You've heard me say this more and more often, is that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are in one place, one time. And it's an incredible, incredible event. But then we hear these words from the Father. It says, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We have to, one, and I'm going to take you there, have to remember that Jesus has not done anything at this point in his ministry. Now, he's lived and he's been obedient to the Father. There's no doubt about that. But his ministry and his mission and purpose is just beginning. We see this as the entry into that. And he did not earn his love from God. He did not earn his pleasure from God. It was stated. It was clear. These are the same words that each one of us here, sons and daughters of a flesh and blood father, or maybe you desire to have a father, would say to you, "I love you, and I'm pleased." I would even say that some of us are so, so desperate for someone to say this to us that we've sold ourselves to unhealthy situations, whether boyfriends or girlfriends, work or indebtedness. I mean, the list goes on and on, because this is really the way God has designed us. He has designed us to hear those words from our Heavenly Father and to have them registered deeply to satisfy the hunger that we're trying to satisfy in every other way. I love you, and I am pleased with you. So water poured over Jesus in love and obedience to his fulfill his righteousness is ushered in these words. We have to ask the question, what about us though? What about us? If the water in this situation is kind of the situation where these words come about, we have to ask the question, how do we get these words, and do I have to work for them? I mean, is it something that I can have too? Can the Father say these things to me too? Well, let's take a look at Romans 6. Romans 6. Water becomes crucial for us that are followers of Jesus, because out of obedience, we are called to be baptized as Jesus was. And so Paul's writing about that. He says, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 5, he says, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his." Baptism, the water, the symbolism of dying to ourselves and the sin, going under the water and then coming back out, is just hugely important for us that are followers of Jesus. And one we must step into obediently. If you didn't know about this in this passage, I would cause you to ponder it a little bit more if you're a follower of Jesus. And if you have never walked through it, or maybe you have and you're kind of like, I didn't know what it meant. I don't know what it means now. I want you to ponder it deeply, because we have been raised to life from the grave. We have been raised to life from the grave. And that's why when you see a baptism or you go to a baptism, we are reminded to remember our baptism through the liturgies that's presented. And oftentimes there's water sometimes sprinkled on you. If you're more formal, liturgical manner, sometimes it's done in fun out to the lake. But we say, remember your baptism. And we're not necessarily, when we say that as pastors or those of us leading that through, are necessarily saying, remember your specific baptism. But we are reminding you, and we desire to remind you of the death you were in and the life you are now in. That you have been raised to life because Christ died for you. And because he gave himself for you, that the grave is empty, and so it will be with you. So the question is, what? Do we have to work from this? Do we have to work for this? Romans 5, which is not on the screen, says this, in Paul's words to the letter to the Romans, says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were powerless, each one of us, Christ died for the ungodly." Each one of us. That's each one of us. "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That the water that we are immersed in and raised out of becomes this immense reminder and symbolism of his love for us, of his marking us as his. Galatians 3 says this, "So in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there a male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. I want you to look at those words, baptized into Christ. You who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. As I was pondering this passage of Scripture this week, Genesis 3 came into my mind. Now, I do not know if I'm stepping off into heresy here. I really don't. Or if it's, you listen, some of you are scrunching your face, you're getting worried. Or if it's just that God is drawing from me personally. But I began to think about Genesis 3, and what happened in Genesis 3 is Adam and Eve sinned, right? And we're in that whole process. We know that God shows up on the scene and he begins to walk through the garden again. And where were Adam and Eve? They were hiding. That's right. They were not where they normally were. That's what we get from it. They just weren't where God normally would find them. And he knew what was up, if you're wondering. They were hiding. In the same way, God calls us out from hiding. And guess what he did for them? Guess what he did for them to show his mercy and his love and grace to them? He clothed them with the first sacrifice that was ever made on the behalf of mankind. Paul says here, for you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. We have been clothed. We have been marked. He loves us and he is pleased with us who have dipped ourselves into the water and rose out. Yet I think sometimes we forget this. I think that there are times that we forget that we're sons and daughters who have been raised to new life. And really simply, that's all my drive is to try to bring a simple and ordinary something to remind us that we have been clothed and we have been loved. And we have to do that. Sometimes we need an awakening to do that. And I think sometimes those awakenings are not through the grand or big. They're through the simple and ordinary that our souls are able to take in on a regular basis, much like drinking a glass of water or eating our fruits and vegetables like we should. It's just a regular, ongoing sustenance to remind us that he is faithful to us. And it constantly awakens us to the very practices and habits that we can be about. Water can be, if we allow it, a reminder of the liturgy of our baptism, of our ritual of baptism that we walk through, that he gave to us as a gift. So water, it's simple and ordinary, much like many of the concepts we're going to be talking about the rest of this summer. Just simple and ordinary. We can find it almost anywhere. Baptism, it's that opportunity that we have to partner with Christ in the simple and ordinary, but through what he does for us so that we can be clothed and loved. So what are our next steps? If that's the case, if that's as simple as it is that if that's really, you know, at the bottom line is that's what we're talking about, that we want to be reminded that we're clothed by God and we're loved by God. There are some just simple things we can do. And what I would like to bring to you this morning is really quite simple. Washing our hands. Washing our hands. Every time that we go to wash our hands, and generally when you wash your hands, in some places I get it, they're not mirrors. But generally in most places that you go, there's a mirror. And so you wash your hands. You pour the water. I would do this if I didn't hold the mic over my hands. You pour the water over your hands or you turn on the faucet and you look at yourself and you say, I am clothed with Jesus and I am loved by Jesus because of the baptism that I have been through as a follower of Jesus. It's as simple as that. That washing our hands can be this liturgy of our ordinary lives that reminds us that we're clothed and we're loved by a God who gave his one and only Son for us. So when you do that, you can look and say a couple of different things to yourself, to the Lord, in this little liturgy. God, you clothe me, raise me. This is what it means when I say clothe. Raise me from death to life. And you love me, and I'm yours. Pretty simple, right? But I think it's pretty profound. God, you clothe me through Christ. You can add all of that. And you love me. And I am yours. I think God wants us to attach our lives to the gifts that he gives to us every day. Maybe this morning you're here and you have never said yes to Jesus. You can't, because you have never said yes and decided and make that statement of fact in your heart, in your mouth, and in your mind, that you have said yes to Jesus. This can be your day, because he does love you. And he desires to clothe you in himself. Some of you, maybe this morning, have never taken the step of baptism. And right now we have 3 people that we're planning to baptize at Somerset Beach. If that's you and you're like, I've never taken the step of baptism, but I have said yes to Jesus, Jesus is asking you to take the step of obedience, to be baptized, to make it public, to allow him to just clothe you and mark you in a tender way. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the water that baptized Jesus. I thank you for the water that baptized and washed me clean and set me free. And I thank you for every life that you have clothed and you have loved in the simplicity of the liturgy of baptism using just this organic thing called water. Yet it means so much to us. Thank you for that. We are grateful. If this morning you have yet to say yes to Jesus, you can pray this prayer. We would invite you to do that. It's simply on the screen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy, grace, and love found in and through Jesus. Save me and forgive me from my sins. I give you my life and choose to love, follow love, and live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we are grateful for new lives in you. We are grateful for your Son who made it all possible. We are grateful for the water that reminds us of our new birth, our being raised from the grave. Amen. Remember the phrase, God, you clothe me and you love me. And I'm yours. Every time you wash your hands, every time you look in the mirror, remind yourself of his love for you and his love for you.